Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
State of Texas, and good morning to the amazing United States of America. Good morning to every nook and cranny where our 100,000-watt transmitter transmits towards Northeast Texas, Southeast Texas, Southwest Louisiana, Northwest Louisiana, and of course, the tentacles of the internet throughout the world where we're listened to really all over Barcelona, Spain. And actually, we picked up one the other day in somewhere in England. But folks, I tell you what, folks are interested in our politics, and we can't disappoint. We can't make the mistakes and continue to look like a laughing stock around the world, where we, the supposed bastions of freedom, have the potential of electing what a judge has already called a rapist, electing what is a bona fide thief and thug, elect what is someone who has ripped off his own citizens. Folks, the world, not only progressives are watching you, but the world is watching you. But before we get started, of course, we go to the folks who we must thank day after day for getting you these signals and making things happen. The gracious, the geniuses in the studio, Jack and Howard. Good morning,
hey,
my brothers.
Geniuses, get in here. He's calling for you.
I got 100,000 watts in my cranny. I can't move.
So that's why the chair is glowing this morning. Okay. Good morning, Egberto.
Good morning. Before you get started, I want to tell you, we had a meeting. I can say this on air, an LSV meeting, and I don't think both of you can understand the amount of the thankfulness that we have for the folks that make this thing happen in the studio on such a meager budget. So before we get started with this program or anything, having a radio station on air, folks, is a huge task. And to do it with the meager resources that we have, it's simply amazing. We are just blessed, lucky, and all those words to have a Howard and Jack in the studios every morning and throughout the day to get what we have going. So whenever you are contributing, and by the way, we're not in fund drive yet, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you call 713-526-5738, at any time during the year, you can always hit number one and contribute to make sure we continue doing this. The greatness of the brothers in the studio cannot be diminished. Okay, brothers, come on in.
Oh, it's not just us, Egberto. It's not just us. There is a large amount of volunteers that come down here and work for us. And the world is basically run by the people who show up to run it. And these folks put in long hours too. Steve Hunter is a volunteer. He doesn't have to do this. And it's an awfully big ask to do 4 or 5 days a week. As you know, you're a volunteer also. So we like the light shining on us, but it's not just us. And I couldn't do this show without Jack. I mean, I really couldn't, because he gets in here before I do, checks the tin cans and string and makes sure that they're working. If they're not, then I get a call. Usually when I'm on the Southwest Freeway, I'm just about ready to get off and say, okay, Jack, I'll be there in just a minute. But honestly, the world is run by people who show up.
Amen.
When you're screaming and complaining about the people, oh, these people are terrible. These are the people who showed up. So, you know, there's volunteers that run the Pacifica Business Talk. Rico has taught them well. Rico was another one that started off as a volunteer. Yes. So It's not just Jack and I. I mean, we are important. That's true. But there is other people involved, and we can't
leave
them
out. Thank you for saying that. Thank you very much for saying that.
It's a team effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Rico, it's Elise Bench, it's you know, everybody.
Thank you for saying that. And you're absolutely right.
You know something? I was going through some of our old newsletters. I found one from 1982, the General Manager's Report. Mm-hmm. And it says, KPOT, keep people free talking. Amen. That's what they said about KPOT's call letters and their little meme that they made up out of it. But this is from 1982. The station dates back to 1970.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years before the millennia. And it has the distinguished or indistinguished thing about being the only station ever being bombed off the air, not once, but twice.
I know.
No other radio station in the entire world has been bombed but us.
We are crazy, man. I guess that's been
special in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then a person showed up from basically the Klan and brought a brick with a couple of $100 tied to it and said, normally we would just throw this through your window. But he made a $200 donation to keep free speech free.
But let me remind you also, we were, you know, and the bullet holes are still there in the doors that we brought from the old building where we were actually shot up as well. So, folks, we do this stuff sometimes even under duress. Go ahead, guys.
Well, it's kind of like working in the Twilight Zone. You know, you really, if anybody were to write the history of the station, no one would believe it. They'd look at it and go, yeah, this is a Hollywood movie somewhere, isn't it? No, it's the actual reality of this radio station. And in fact, this is where my career started at KPFT.
Yes.
1976, I was a wet behind the ears kid out of high school. I said, I got to get into this radio business. So I was down the street bugging them at Kilt again for about the 50th time. And they said, you know, there's an old radio station in an old house down there. Have you tried them? I said, well, no, but I'm going to go there right now. And I did and began my radio career.
There you go.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're taking away from Neil Aquino. He's your guest this morning. And it's
Neil can always chime in. Neil doesn't have to stay quiet. I see him looking through the screen. He's a part of the team.
No. Oh, I appreciate it. Actually, those that theme of volunteering. I was a programmer for 3 years at WAIF FM 88.3 Cincinnati, Ohio, which is still on the air and is all volunteer. It's not a college or NPR affiliate at all. It's completely unaffiliated, and I co-hosted Search and Destroy, which was a punk rock show with my colleague, Handsome Clem Carpenter. we were on every Wednesday. There was a series of alternative and punk programming that WAIF aired Monday through Thursdays. And to this day, there's a couple cassette recordings of it on YouTube of me and Clem. And I still have a lot of Cincinnati connections, and people still have cassettes. I was 16. I was ages 16 to 19, and it was all. There might have been one. And I'm Eric Kukels was the engineer, and I'm Facebook friends with him to this day. And I think Eric might have been paid, but it's the same structure, setup, setup. And the guy who came on after us did surf music, and the guy who before us, I think, on the air on Wednesdays did German language. Cincinnati has a big German heritage, and WAIF is still on to this day with board politics and many of the same stories are there, and that to talk about, that's one of our themes, if we're able to get to it today, of just showing up. Alberto and I were talking about a guy.
You know what, Neil, let's hold that one. Let's get Jack to give his word of the day, and then we get into that, because that is a very important subject that you're talking about there. And it's amazing how we think alike, that Howard started what we are going to talk about. Just damn it, show up.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jack, Give me that word of the day, my brother.
Okay, I'm a late bloomer to radio, so I came in just a year ago or so. So that's how I started my career in radio so far.
Let me warn you then.
Yeah.
After spending 48 years in radio, I can warn you about this.
Yeah.
It's addictive. Okay. So go ahead with your wisdom.
This is about greedflation soars as CEO pay soars, as greenhouse gases soar. Did the internal combustion engine bring the world to this critical point in time where the man?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
As of corporate rule is about to drive America off the cliff into the abyss of war. Is all the killing of war worth our cushy standard of living? Personally, I could live with a lot less luxury and a lot more peace.
Well, that makes me sore.
I love that. And you know something? It is that statement, to save the world, to make sure things are equitable, I can live with a lot less luxury. That's a statement that I think a lot of us should take heed to, Jack. That's a very important statement. I mean, we are in a throwaway society, and I mean, look, that is so true. And you know what? I can say many of us have started living that. You know, we've lived down quite a bit for the better good. So that's a damn good statement. Before we get started with Neil, yesterday the inflation rate, what we call the greed index or the corporate greed rate, CGR, came out. And it was 3.5%, and what was expected was 3.4%. And folks, I want you all to listen to me well here. We're going to get to Neil right away, but I need you to listen to me here. This is evil. When I hear the way the 3.5% inflation rate is spoken about on every channel, whether liberals lean in, progressive lean in, right wing lean in, evil lean in, they all speak about this inflation rate as if it's some inherently magical thing that we don't have control over. I want to set the record straight with all of you, and I beg that you listen, and I beg that you then go do your own research. Because you don't have to just listen to my voice. All inflation is the people with pricing power, corporations, even you as a mom and pop shop, etc. When you raise a price of anything, that is called inflation. Remember that. That's all inflation is. You raise the price of something. Why would you raise the price of something? The average mom and pop business many times are forced to raise the price of something because their suppliers, their utilities, all those items go up in price. So mom and pop like you and me have very little what's known as pricing power. But you know who has pricing power? The different corporations that control things at their inception, at their beginning. And what are those things that are controlled at the beginning? Oil. We are an oil economy, even as we would like to change that. We are an oil economy. What that means is that barrel of oil that comes out of the ground, the people who have the power to price that. And by the way, taking oil out of the ground in the aggregate, when you add all the barrels of oil that we use in America and we figure out what the actual price is that corporations use to extract it out of the ground compared to the price it is sold for. It is huge, the difference. The profit is huge. I don't know. At one time, it was $2 and something cents to bring the average barrel of oil out of the ground. We pay $90 for it. So what does the price of oil do to the price of food? Because food is transported by trucks, when they raise their prices, your food go up, not because the farmers, our brothers and sisters farming the land, our friends are making more money. Okay? They are not making more money. Their cost has increased as well because the tractors they use to fill in the fields, the fertilizers they use in the field are based on oil. So when you see people really hitting up oil companies for making things difficult, that is one of the reasons. When you're transporting the food, when you're transporting the equipment to the stores, all those prices go up. Other things that cause price increases, supply chain issues, but most of the supply chain issues that we have were not caused because of some natural issue. It was caused because of decisions that corporations made, going ahead and manufacturing in distant places that are not stable, where the it cost, whenever there's a shock, it costs you and it create false scarcities. So what do these guys do? Whenever the oil prices fall to a price where their profit margin isn't the same, they cut the supply of oil. Not something that's happening naturally. They decide to create scarcity so that supply and demand comes into play and raise your prices. So this is one aspect. Oil companies and those, and not only oil companies, but others that controls this, the beginning source of production, they raise prices. Mom and pop and stores and grocery stores and these other people then raise their prices by necessity. But there's another factor here. How do you solve this problem? Right now, if you watch ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNBC, or whatever, they started to talk about, well, the feds are going to keep your interest rates high until inflation is wiped out or you get it down to 2%. That is the biggest, biggest assassination of your personal economy we can speak about. Because what they're saying is these guys that are profiting from inflation, remember what I said, inflation is a voluntary choice of making scarcity, of making things not available so that the price goes up. We have never had a scarcity of oil. Let me just let you guys know that straight up. You can look it up. We never had a scarcity of oil. Even during the pandemic, you could never go to a gas station and not find oil. In the 70s, when we had the oil shock, it was a voluntary choice of an embargo that created that oil shock. We've never had a shortage of oil. But again, the manipulation of these things that they like to call the free market is false. There ain't no free market. There was never a free market. Ask Professor and many others in this domain, Richard Wolff and others. Let's get a bit clearer now. So what the feds are asking us to do is we, the people of the United States, they're increasing our interest rates so that we cannot buy homes because it's too expensive, buy cars because it's too expensive, spend less money because our credit card rates are too high. So what the feds are asking us to do is we must give bankers more money because they generally charge higher interest than even the discount rate that the feds are charging. And they blame it, of course, on the feds. But the feds are asking us to slow the economy down instead of telling the corporations to stop raising prices. And that if they raise prices, we have a legal method to take it back, which is called we create excess profit taxes. And then when we collect those, we throw that right back into the treasury and give back to the people for the unduly use of our economic system by a few to rip us off. So the feds are asking us to not, they don't ask the corporations, please lower your prices. They're asking us to pay the bankers more so that we spend less in the economy. And when we spend less in the economies, then the corporations say, okay, we have maxed out how much we can get from the system and lower prices or keep prices steady. It's a scam. The economic system, as I've been explaining for decades, is a fraud for a few. And I don't take what I'm just saying at face value. Please, brothers and sisters, research how we have been taken year after year after year. Inflation that we're looking at, it's not your fault. It's not the fault of the mom and pop store that has to raise prices. It's at the genesis of where the economic system begins. And until we understand that and revolt against, and I'm talking about peacefully doing something to stop an economic system that's fraudulently just take as much as it can. When we threw a whole lot of money into the system during the pandemic, you know what that told the corporations? There's a lot of money that is in people's hands and we can take it. And how do we take it? We raise the price of gasoline because they do have the money to pay a higher price. It wasn't about shortages. It wasn't about not having the supply. And you don't hear that on the news because this has been the economic system since our inception. And with that, I ask you, don't take my voice at face value. You can research all of this as well. I needed to say that at the beginning of the program. Now I want to welcome my brother and from another mother, El Señor Neil Aquino. Neil, what are we speaking about today?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And global audience, your wise words there. Just briefly remind me of when the National Weather Service issues an air quality alert. And I just pulled it up. But when we have a lot of air quality alerts in Houston, and it says, minimize your use of items that increase pollution, such as cars, gas-powered lawnmowers. Do not burn debris. But what it doesn't say, the Weather Service thing, it doesn't ask the polluters to stop polluting. I think of this every time. Because there's been a company that's been flaring. It's been visible from was visible from parts of Houston, over in the petrochemical ship channel area. But it's never, hey, polluters, stop polluting. It's, hey, don't go to the supermarket if you don't have to, or something. The burden is shifted onto us rather than the polluter. And I think about that every time that there's an air quality alert. It's the same psychology. I'm Neil Aquino, and I'm running the Houston Democracy Project. And Egberto and the geniuses in the studio are kind enough to let me on every Thursday. And it's at HoustonDemocracyProject.com. And there's a daily blog, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity. We have to act and show up ourselves. Great minds think alike, so does mine, right? And so we are here showing up. We are here showing up.
Before you call, folks, I want to let you know that this is a call-in show. You can call in about anything, including asking about my initial monologue or everything that Neil has to speak about. The number is 713-526-5738. We'd love to hear from you guys as well. 713-526-5738. On the docket today is Chevron CEO pay jumped by $26 million. Higher gas and rents keep inflation higher. I kind of give a little inflation monologue in the beginning of the program. And of course, we have on deck Neil Aquino to talk about some important subjects. And one of the first one he wants to talk about is the importance of the HCAD election that's going to be upon us pretty soon. Neil?
Yes, this is a pretty big deal. So a newly created election position in larger Texas counties is for your county appraisal district. So you've always had a county appraisal district, and they help assess the tax rates. And there's a Harris County Appraisal District. You can go to their website. There's a Harris County Appraisal District. So Paul Bettencourt, and that's in some respects all you need to know. Senator Paul Bettencourt's involved. That's all you need to know, that wickedness is prevailing. And they've put this three of our eight county appraisal positions will now be elected, right? We're for democracy, okay? And these elections in the larger counties, in Harris County, early voting is the 22nd to the 30th of April, and the election is May 4th for the three positions. There are three positions, all at large. Everyone in the county will vote for these three seats. So I say to you, the election is May 4th, okay? So there was a primary March 5th. Was the election that day? No. Primary runoff day is May 28th. Is that the election? No. The general election is in November. They set this up for May 4th. Now, as it turns out, in Senate District 15, that is the date to fill out former Senator Whitmire's term. So the Jarvis Johnson-Molly Cook race will be May 4th. They don't want you to vote. They don't want you to vote. The Harris County Republican Party has a slate of three candidates. One of them was one, Kyle Scott, was one of the 22 people who filed one of those election overturn lawsuits. He was the losing candidate for county treasurer in 2022. And if you remember, Melior and 22 folks tried to overturn. All those cases were lost. So this guy, there's a proven election overturner in one of these seats. So what the Republicans want to do is get on this Harris County appraisal district and start to strangle property tax revenue. The Republican goal stated over and over from Austin is they want to get rid of property taxes. Now, we don't have an income tax, and the people regretfully last November in a constitutional referendum precluded the prospect until we changed that of a wealth tax in Texas. And it was kind of unbelievable. But so you're going to have crazy sales taxes, fees. You know they're not going to assess the companies, and you're going to strangle public schools. It's all connected here. It's all connected. So I'm going to vote for Kathy Bluford Daniels, Melissa Noriega, and Palumi Adelke for the HCAD positions. Kathy Bluford Daniels for position one, Melissa Noriega for position two, Palumi Adelke for position three. That is the endorsed slate of the Harris County Gulf Coast AFL-CIO Labor Federation. The labor endorsements are the slate. The Harris County Labor Gulf Coast Texas AFL-CIO, Daniels, Noriega, Adelke. This is a big deal.
I wasn't following that election until you made it clear on your HoustonDemocracyProject.com site. So I am actually glad that you did that. I know Melissa Noriega very well. Melissa Noriega is a wonderful person and a person that one can trust. She's not your everyday politician at all. So that's a good choice that you have there. Let me put you, ask you to hold a second. Let's go to Peter. And folks, don't forget the number is 713-526-5738. The number is 713-526-5738, extension number 2. Come on in, Peter. Come on in.
Good morning, Egberto, and thank you so much. And I met Palumi. She was really outstanding, and I have a lot of trust in her. And of course, I'll vote for her. I was at the Humble Area Democrats meeting, and I encourage all your listeners to get involved with your local club. And I did call on your point about the 3% inflation. Actually, just to put into perspective, guys, it was 9% 3 years ago, and then really get to the crux of the issue. Like, we just got to build a better mousetrap, so to speak. In other words, so if oil is part of problem, Egberto, and so the reason why I want to go up to Congress is to work on zero point energy and actually biofuel. So like short term, should have something that's renewable, a biofuel that instead of the internal combustion engine as we know it with fossil fuels, we can be using biofuel. So that'll something that we can control that market, like very inexpensive to power everything. And as you know, when energy costs are lower, the cost of everything goes down. Then of course, my long term vision is zero point energy, where, hey guys, would you like the cost of energy to be hardly anything, like the cost of your electricity to power your car? Would you like that cost to be like pennies?
Of course,
you guys.
Of course.
Outstanding stuff. Zero point energy. that's what I have in mind, Egberto. So love to hear guys' thoughts. And again, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you guys.
Well, look, first of all, Peter, thank you for calling in and making mention of that. That is absolutely so. That is what we believe in. Anyway, so let's go ahead and bring on Harry real quick. Harry, come
before,
on in.
Before we do that, before we bring on Harry, can I quickly say, excuse me, Harry. Peter, thank you for that call. That sticks to the theme set from the studio of showing up. The Humble Area Democrats, I was their guest speaker in March about the Democracy Project. Humble Area Democrats is a great club. Its president is John Carter. And that's another, just another perfect example of showing up. And there are absolutely Democratic clubs in Cypress all throughout the county. If you're interested in becoming involved, thanks.
John Carter is a great guy. He's the president of the Humble Area Democrats. But not only is he a president, but he gets people out. He along with the team.
Yeah.
He along with the team. They have revolutionized the Northeast Harris County and more. Northeast Harris County.
There's a lot of more progressive folks out there. People think they're alone. You're not alone. There's a really significant progressive and community in Humble. You're never alone. Look for the folks who are with you.
Absolutely. Harry, come on in, my brother.
Yeah, good morning, Neil Aquino. Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Jack. And good morning, Professor Egberto Willis. One thing I wanted to comment from last week. I'm sorry that Bard gave you such a hard time, Neil Aquino, about the situation with those police officers and why you weren't going after them, because Bard didn't have all his facts right. And then I called the next day and gave Egberto a lot of the facts of what happened there, because that situation happened not too far from where I live and my brother and I live in Missouri City. That happened in 2019 with those two police officers that lied. But anyway, that's not why I called. I called about two things. I wanted to talk about Egberto's monologue and the show that you did a few days ago, Egberto, when you were talking about your wife and the bill about the when she had the biopsy, the $27,000, and you said that there was $3,000 left, and you said you weren't going to pay for that, and you were going to write blogs. I was just wondering, were you successful in not having to pay for that?
Well, I haven't gone and worked through that yet, but I am making it clear that I'm putting up a protest to our healthcare system, and I will be, whatever the results of that turns out to be, I will be writing blogs, I'll be doing media and all of that to really show the corruption that is our healthcare system. And again, this isn't on individual people. This is just a system that we have to change. If I love the nurses, I love the doctors, et cetera, but the system has got to change. Continue, my brother.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be praying for you, and I hope that your blogs get through and you're successful and you don't have to pay that $3,000. Because like you said, that Medicare Advantage, as you've said many times on this program, and Arnie Arneson has talked about it, Tom Hartman has talked about it, about ripping people off. But when you were talking about the inflation, the greed inflation, and the American people are at the mercy of these corporatists. You got me thinking, you know, average people, they have to put gas in their car. They got to get from point A to point B. They got to buy clothes. They got to buy food. And they're at the mercy of buying these commodities that are expensive. And then I hear people complaining about Joe Biden talking about, and I understand why they're complaining. Why didn't he, Powell, Trump's man to his own man? So a lot of people are saying, well, Joe Biden's kind of like Republican light. So you hear all these, you read these things and you hear about these things and get you thinking. And, you know, what are average Americans to do with this inflation the way it is?
You know, Harry, I want to thank you. First of all, I forgot in my monologue, I forgot to bring Biden into the equation. Thank you for bringing that up. I want to say it in two sentences. Right. Stop blaming Biden for inflation. Stop blaming government for inflation. The only government entity that created inflation, that was a party to the inflation that we just had, was Donald Trump in the form of adding tariffs to the products from China. Okay, that's the only component of inflation right now that is government driven, and that is because we decided to apply tariffs from China. But that's a different argument. It's not Biden. Exactly. If you want to blame a government official for part of this inflation, look at Trump. But continue. Thank you for, I forgot to add that one, Harry. Thank you.
Exactly. It's not Biden. It's the, and I know that it's not the president. People get confused about that. Whenever it's whoever's president and then you got inflation going, it is the corporatists. It is the, they create the artificial shortages and they screw you, like you said about the oil there, how they cut the oil prices and then they charge what they want. That's what it is. Yes. And I explained that to my friend from Florida and all these things. And he just thinks that it's a lot of rhetoric and all that stuff. And
you know, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing, Harry. You have another subject because I want to jump to Johnny and then go ahead.
Okay. Now, the last thing I wanted to point out is, and I know the mayor of politics done right will say things like, have said things like this when you get to him. They seem like they only want, with these high rents and high mortgages, they only want an economy for the oligarchy and the plutocrats. And that's what that neoliberalism and Laffernomics have got us, because like you're always talking about with the shareholders and executives, they're the ones who benefit because they want profit. That's right. All they care about. And they don't
thank
care
you, Johnny.
About
I mean, thank you, Harry. Hey, I appreciate you. I want you to know. I appreciate you, brother. Go ahead, Neil. Before I get to Johnny, do you want to add to that, sir?
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Johnny. Come on in.
Poor Alberto. Alberto, you deserve a well. You deserve a rest. Not me. You do. Listen, I've got a question for Neil Aquino, but before I ask him my question, I've got a question for you. I can't remember. Maybe you know the answer. Who was the name of that Saudi prince who gave not one or one and a half or 1.6, but $2 billion to mm-hmm. Donald Trump's son in law? What's that guy's name? Do you remember?
Yeah, his son-in-law. BSV gave money to Trump's son-in-law, Kushner.
Kushner.
Yeah. I would like for us, because you know the American corporate industrial oligarchy, you know they come out right away. They are well funded and well organized. Well, they're the ones that are funding it. They fund and help organize stupid things like stickers on gas pumps, picture of Joe Biden and said, I did this.
Right.
So we can't make up stickers of our own that have a picture of that Saudi prince and Jared Kushner kissing and having, we did this, sitting up on a tree, KISSING, on gas pumps the next time there's outrageous gas pump prices, huh? Why can't we do that?
You know, Johnny, here's the funny thing about it, and I talk about this all of the times, right? We don't fight. When I say we, I'm talking of progressives, liberals, et cetera, don't fight like the right. And it's a shame. I try in some of the work that I do to do that. But one of the other things that we don't have in the aggregate is money, right? It takes a lot of money to do that. Neil can tell you, I can tell you, Neil is out there in the field 7 days a week doing his work with the Houston Democracy Project. And it's funded mostly by his heart and the work he wants to do. Likewise, you know, I do these two programs every day. KPFT is out there. We struggle to raise money on this side of the spectrum. And by the way, I should say this side of the spectrum for KPFT, because KPFT, as you can see, we have listeners that are conservative, progressive, etc. And a lot of our conservatives are supporters of this station. I mean, so let me not malign, but what I'm saying is for what we do, we don't get the funding that we deserve to make, to enlighten people, to make the right choices. So what we have to do it on the cheap, the way I do it, the way Neil does it, the way KPFT does it, and the way your calls do it, Johnny, by enlightening and letting people know about this. So believe it or not, the fact that we are having this communication, what we could use a hell of a lot more are ears and eyes, meaning getting more people to hear what we're saying, building the trust that people have in the words that we put out. You can trust our word here, right? I always tell you, look it up, right? That's not what you have on the other side. The other side works on blind faith. We are transparent, and we can do that with your help as well, Johnny. When you talk about the things you talk about, you are being a part of the solution. Continue, Johnny, before I jump to Donald.
Oh, okay. Pernil Aquino, I hope you have some recommendations for not just Harris County voters, but us poor voters here in Galveston County. Is there a place that we can go, or can you give us some names of the races that will apply to Galveston County that we could vote for in the next couple of weeks?
So thank you for asking. No, I don't know. I'm actually Googling right now if there are appraisal district races in what I would encourage you, if you're outside the county, to look up, do you have call your county board of elections. There's a population threshold, and I'm not sure which counties. I know Travis and the larger counties definitely have it. So what I would encourage you, and then email your, if you are a Democrat or a voice that you trust, find out the answer. And
I'm going to butt in here because I think, let me tell you, Johnny, I think, you know, those that are activists, those that are community organizers, et cetera, a lot of times we get the best advice from the public at large as far as the things that they need. So I am going to, right here on air, I'm going to put my good friend, my brother, on the spot, Neil. And Neil, that Houston Democracy Project that you have, you know, we all have the areas that we excel in, and you have always excelled in giving good recommendations for and advice for suggestions to people. You know, let's make that more visible on your site, my brother, because Johnny just put the ask in that if right. People have to make that ask in, that means we need to improve on the job we are doing.
I want to make one other brief comment off of something Johnny said. As I look at Galveston County, there is a May 4th election on Galveston votes at the Galveston. So there is a May 4th election in Galveston, and I'm going to wager there's an HCAT election there, but I don't know the answer offhand. But there's something going on May 4th in Galveston County, and I also want to talk about the question about resources. Resources are needed. You know, people donate to campaigns. It's good to donate to campaigns, but it's also true that campaigns do not leave structures of community and structures of turnout. And one of the ironies is that the systems that sustain campaigns are not the systems sometimes that sustain democracy, that we have elected mm-hmm. officials who are used to winning, let's say on the Democratic side of the aisle, they win in low turnout votes. They cynically profit from gerrymandering because they don't have contested general elections. They live in the authoritarian environment of Texas. Our state legislators are too conditioned to close relationships with Republicans for scraps and not really voicing the opinions that they should. The Texas legislature in the latest primary is moving further to the right. Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton have been successful. There may not even be Democratic committee chairs. So where I'm getting at is, so yes, contribute to the campaigns that matter, but KPFT, Egberto's efforts, you can go to HoustonDemocracyProject.com. We need resources, and we will show up. We will show up, and we will help leave structures of community and involvement that campaigns do not. Campaigns come and go. And the candidate, once they lose, is gone. And one of the most difficult things to grasp is that our elected officials, even ones we like or trust, do not care about turnout. They do quite fine in a low turnout environment. And the systems that sustain elected officials are not the systems that sustain a healthy democracy frequently.
Couldn't have said it any better, Neil. Johnny, anything else before we go to Donald?
Yeah, I'm going to, after your show is done, I'll go to HoustonDemocracyProject.com, not .org.
Yeah, .com. Yeah, no, .com.
Okay, and I'll look on there to make a donation to you today, and then I'll check back onto your website in a few days, and maybe you'll have something posted for us. Here's why I ask. is because the League of Women Voters, God bless them, they do what they can, but their resources are also limited, and they sometimes leave out one or two races. I notice this is a persistent problem for them, so I seriously doubt, I'll go check their website also, but I seriously doubt I will be able to find what I need for this specific kind of election, and maybe I'll get lucky with you guys.
Hey, okay. Well, I mean, that's Johnny. Johnny,
How is it that,
sorry about that.
You mentioned a hostile environment, or you mentioned a hostile environment with Republicans in the state. How is it that we managed to have an experimental supplemental income pilot project in Houston or Galveston or Harris County for $500 a month for what, 1 year for a certain number of families? How did that happen? How did they not prevent that?
Let me tell you, it didn't happen. Actually, it is done. I mean, Ken Paxton is suing Harris County, and our county attorney says it's more than likely dead. OK, in other words, we cannot do anything for the poor Harris County resident, but we can always give those great tax breaks and tax abatements to corporations, and nobody tries to sue about that. But we try. And by the way, I'm glad you brought this up, Brian, Johnny, because I understand the basic income concept very well. I've been to Netroots where I've interviewed many different organizations that have experimented with basic income and basic income works. It's where the state gives a stipend based on need to a group of folks, and these people eventually all the experiments that done, they didn't waste the money. They used the money to make themselves more marketable, to make things better, to take the edge off, and they all did better and went independent after it. But that is what the other side fights against. So thank you for bringing that up, Johnny. I got to go to Donald because we're running out of time. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I say something independent? You said?
What's that? Go ahead.
I'll say something to back up what you just said. A lot of Republicans fail to understand that when somebody, a working class person, gets $500 or $1,000 windfall, they're not suddenly perplexed or broke or a hobo after receiving that money. It's not like they're getting a winning lottery ticket of $1 million or two, and then they wind up homeless because they can't deal with the fact they've got all this money all of a sudden. No, we're talking about $500, not $5 million. People understand $500. They know how to use that money, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, John. Let's get to Donald. Come on in, Donald. How are you doing this morning, my brother?
Good morning, Alberto. How are you? How are you doing, Neil?
Hi, hello. Thank you. Good morning.
Y'all sound like y'all are wired up this morning. Well, let me give you a hypothetical. Who do you think Trump should elect as a vice president to go up against the system?
Wow. You know, I haven't
appoint?
I'll let you tell me.
Pick anybody you want.
I'll be honest with you, Donald. I don't have a clue.
I know you do. And Trump as president and him selecting the right vice president to go up against the system, because that's how you make change. Because Joe is going to keep doing the same thing Joe's been doing for 30 years. And the only way you can make a change is to go outside the system. Nobody cares about abortion. They care about what's in their icebox, what's in their car, and where they live at. And if you give somebody $500, unless you're taking a neighbor side by side and you're putting them and you're going through their books and you're educating them how to use that money for the best to excel them in the future, if not, they're going to be neighbor rich. They're going to be for a short term. It's going to be gone, and it's not going to have any benefit to anybody except putting it back
Donald,
in the pocket.
Donald, let me ask you to hold for a second. Okay. You know, we believe in experiments and numbers and science here, right? And by the way, something that you said is very important. We need to, and in fact, Eric, my conservative brother here, talks about it all of the times. We do need to teach fiscal responsibility and how money works, etc. So you are absolutely correct about that. And that generally comes with basic income. Basic income isn't just I give you money and I teach you nothing, right? Like what how our school system works. We give you money and we also teach you a few things that you may not have known. So it's not that simple. But whether basic income works or not, these are tested concepts. And the tested concepts work. And the thing about it is we've been taught so long to hate poor people in that we don't see basic income when we give stipends to corporations, etc. But when we give stipends to individuals, we somehow think that is more morally wrong. But we don't have that problem when we're given corporations. So I'm saying many of the things that we have to do, Brother Donald, is to reframe our thinking and not fall for the indoctrination. With regards to Joe doing the same thing, I hope you listen to when I say I first look at the structure. Let me take my host hat off. When I vote for Joe, I'm not voting for Joe because I like his Israel policy. I'm not voting for Joe because I like his neoliberal originalist way of thinking. I'm voting for him because under him, I watched as progressives were able to get policies that makes the lives of people better. And guess what? It did make the lives of people better, not as good as it should be, but it did make the lives of people better, Donald. So I'm saying we have to be pragmatic. You're generally a pragmatic guy. You got to be pragmatic. Donald Trump does not allow for pragmatism. Donald Trump allows for all that is negative. And when it comes to abortion, please, my brother, let's have some respect for women. Women are the ones who can have kids. Yeah, they do care, brother. They do care. And I think that's why, even though it's not showing in the polls, I think we're going to have a landslide, not just on the national level, but on the state level as well. Continue, Donald. You got about 30 seconds before I jump to Patrick.
Okay, Neil, if you go out and play soccer or basketball with poor people because they're gathering in a group, I bet you could talk to them because you know what? That's all they can afford. They can't afford a fancy this, that, and the other. But if you get down on poor people's level and explain to them what you would like to do for them and you go to their environment, why do you have them to come to you? You go to them. It may not be
you
the
just said
there.
It. Donald, I got to cut you, but what that statement that you just made there is a powerful statement, and you are correct. We have to go to the people. We have to meet people where they are. Thank you for that, brother. That's a profound statement.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, all right, in the chat, I want to welcome Patrick, come on in. In the chat, I want to welcome Paul Fleming, Eric Hayes. We also have, it's a lot of things in there. A lot of commentary in there. SM, welcome aboard as well. And if I missed you in the chat, forgive me. All right, come on in, Brother Patrick.
Hey, good morning. A few people are pushing back on this $500 a month. I have a lot of compassion for the poor, and I think that we should treat them better, but I think that program is wrong because I don't think that we should need a program like that at all. If we just legislate having Social Security and having minimum wage attached to inflation, we would never have to come up with things like this. The fact
you
is
know
that,
what?
That we're poor so
Patrick.
Poorly, we have to pull a lottery to help them out. And then when we have something like a lottery to help them out, we're criticizing it. It's ridiculous. Yes, sir.
Patrick, how can I possibly disagree with what you just said of what we should have? I can't. I mean, you're an honest guy and you're a guy that a moral guy, a humane guy, but we don't have it. And what what basic income is there to do is give an experiment to convince the people that are not like you, who think somehow bringing people up to the level based on those policies you just stated. So this started like a stopgap test method to show people there is a way, in fact, to inflate the poor. That's all it's, Patrick. So, but thank you for that. You know, I can't I can't find a way to disagree with what you said should be done. You're right. Anything else, Patrick, before I jump to Brian?
Yeah, to Neil, I've looked over your website a few times, and I'm trying to get familiar with some more of the work you're doing. But I can stay on the phone and get off the air. I want to offer a donation in exchange for your picture of the locomotive going over the bridge and your picture of the fish. And I'll pay costs and then offer a donation above and beyond that if you'd be interested.
Actually, photography is a part. I know the picture. If you want to email me so I better understand what you're saying, that would be great. My email.
Give him your email real quick, Neil. I need to go to Brian. Give him your email real quick.
It's naa61840@gmail.com.
And if you don't get that, just drop me a line at kpft@politicsunright.com, and I'll send you all the information on Neil. Yeah. Thank you very much for your call, Patrick. Let's jump to Brother Brian. Brian, you're on. You got 1 minute.
Yeah, good morning. Did you happen to see the video of President Trump in the Chick-fil-A in Georgia?
No, I didn't.
His interaction with Dwayne? Of course not. Of course not, because it showed him in a positive light. You should watch it. Biden doesn't do anything like that, not even close. He doesn't get out and intermingle with restaurant personnel.
Okay, let me stop you right. Actually, that's not true. I mean, you can go ahead and you can just go to the Biden's website and see that the Trump administration has accused him of not being able to have big functions because all he's doing is exactly what you just said. He's in restaurants, he's in all these places, but you don't see that. Now, here's the thing, Brian. All right. No, I didn't see that particular picture in the Chick-fil-A. Because that does not happen. Wait, Brian, stop. Please, let us have a conversation. I didn't see that picture at all, okay? But I'm saying that you're wrong when you say Biden doesn't do that. He does that more often than anyone else. And you can look on his website and see them. All right, you got about 10 seconds. Finish up. Close up.
No, it's not a picture. It's a video.
And no, I'm talking about a video.
Brian, you
came on the air once again and you gave a false statement, my brother. Let's talk about it tomorrow. Neil, give me a quick closer.
Harry, there are Galveston County appraisal district elections. There are no recommendations on the Democratic Party site. I will work over the week to come back next week with Galveston appraisal district elections suggestions. And thank you. HoustonDemocracyProject.com. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, let's go to the studio.
Well, nothing for me. Got to wrap it up. Jack, what you got?
Chevron CEO pay to 26 plus million. Chevron owns the rights to the oil under Gaza. Do the math.
Yeah.
Thank you so kindly, guys. Love all our callers. Love all our listeners. I don't care your ideological perspective. We love you all. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Unwrapped, and you know how I end this baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.